Please open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. We'll read that in just a moment. It's James, chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Let me ask y'all a question at the very beginning. How many of y'all have looked into a mirror today? I guess we all have, haven't we? Probably one of the first things that we did. Now, I know when I got up this morning, I looked in the mirror, and it was shocking. But my wife was standing in front of me. I am kidding about, boy, I got to go home with her tonight, too, don't I? You know, we look in the mirror in the mornings and sometimes we receive that shock, don't we? And sometimes we have to make adjustments to ourselves. So the next time we look in the mirror, everything will be better. You know, there's one thing that a mirror will never do. It will never lie to you. It is going to show you exactly the way things are. Now, you know, we know that magicians use mirrors to perform their tricks and make their illusions and whatnot. And if you see their illusions and you see their mirrors, the mirror is just mimicking what it is. It is translucent to you. You know, the mirror is not going to lie to you. It's like the camera. It's going to show you exactly the way it is. I want to suggest to you tonight that the Bible is God's mirror to the soul. And by using this tool, we can actually learn about our own character, and we can actually learn about our own needs as Christians in this life. God's mirror enables man to see himself the way God sees him. Now, in this lesson, I want to talk about two things. And some of you are thinking, well, he's preached on mirrors before, and I have. I have several sermons on the mirror. This is not one that you've heard yet, okay? So I want to talk about two things tonight. I want to talk about the function of the spiritual mirror and the purpose of the spiritual mirror. First of all, the function of God's mirror. God's mirror, which is what we hold in our hands, the Bible, the book of the Word of God, it reveals to us the origin of the soul. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we find the origin of man. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. King James Version of the Bible says man became a living soul. Some say that man is alive in the same manner as all the other animals are alive. And it is true that man became a living being in that sense that we, being animals as the other animal world, we were created in that manner. But simply having life on earth, there is more to that in being a man. You know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So here, Paul is talking about two different parts of mankind. He's talking about the physical part of man, which indeed decays from day to day. But then he is also talking about the inward man, which continues and is renewed day today, which means it does not end. Man was created in the image of God. Now, y'all have heard me say this before. If that's true, God must be a pretty ugly fellow if he looks like me. But that's not the image that God is talking about. In verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." God is a spirit. God is not physical. We are physical, and at the same time, we are spirit. He goes on to say, "Because man is made in his image, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God has given man dominion in this life, and yet at the same time, God has made the spiritual life important to us as well. We are both physical and spiritual. And the way we handle our spiritual life, the way we deal with God, with our spiritual life, will determine the saving of the soul when this life is over. Now, let me ask you this. Can man destroy our soul? No, we can't. At least not according to Jesus, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In other words, we can do part of the job. We talked about the death of Jesus this morning on the cross. And we talked about the fact that it wasn't the power of God that put Jesus on the cross and took his physical life. That was all man's doing. But God did something that man could not. He brought Jesus back. He reunited the physical Jesus and the spiritual Jesus when he came out of the tomb. God has that power to control both the body and the soul. So man cannot destroy the soul because God made us, our soul, in his image. And he is in control of that. So, as we look up the origin of the soul, we find that it is indeed given to us by God, and it will be taken back by God and not by man. Another function of the mirror is to reveal the value of the soul. You know, Jesus once asked the question, Matthew 16 and verse 26. He said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, to begin with, the first part of this verse is easy. What if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What is the ultimate result? Nothing. You have nothing. Your soul is far more valuable than anything that you can accumulate while here upon this earth. There is nothing that you could have that you could put into your hands, that you could put into the bank, that you could have in your physical possession that is worth the entire world, if you had it, would be worth one soul. That's how valuable the soul is. But the second part of the question is this: what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And how many times do we see people walk away from God, turn their backs on God for what? Worldly things. When a person leaves God, it is because he has seen something here that is more important to him than his soul. And he will follow that, and he will yearn after that, and he will do everything he possibly can to have it. And let the soul go by. And we know that happens all the time, don't we? You know, Solomon tells us a pretty interesting thing in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. "The dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." The two parts of man will separate at death. The soul will continue somewhere. The physical part will go back to the ground. The third function of the mirror reveals the disfigurement of the soul. How do we disfigure our soul? Is it with spiritual things or is it with physical things? If we want to destroy our soul, how do we do that? Well, Paul tells us how. In fact, he gives us a list of things that will destroy the soul. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. People who practice these things, and they're all physical things, destroys the spiritual thing that you have. It destroys the soul. These fleshly works corrupts the mind, corrupts the body, and disfigures the soul, and causes man to turn away from God. Another function of this mirror is to reveal the destiny of the soul. Since God owns the soul will go to one of two places, heaven or hell. We know this from what we read in Matthew chapter 25 when he gives us the description of the judgment scene. Those who are on the right-hand side will be those who will enter into the gates of heaven. Those are the ones who did not destroy their soul. Those who are on the left side will enter into eternal punishment because they chose these works of the flesh rather than to keep their soul for God. So the mirror tells us a lot about ourselves, doesn't it? When we look into that mirror in a spiritual way. Now, let's take a look at the proper use of God's mirror, the purpose of God's mirror. First of all, we need to use this mirror every day. We need to use it both day and night. David, the psalmist, tells us in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." In other words, there is no end to looking into this mirror. Now, every one of us today, we know we got up this morning and we looked into the mirror. What are we going to do in the morning? We're going to look in that same mirror, aren't we? To see if anything is different, to see if anything has changed, to see if anything needs adjusting. We need to look into that spiritual mirror every time we get up in the morning, throughout the day as needed, and when we turn in at night. This is what David is telling us here. In his law I delight, and I meditate on it day and night. Because it is God's law that will determine where the soul will spend eternity. We are to let the word dwell within us. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." It is a never-ending thing. We need to make sure that his word always abides in us. Paul said, study to show yourselves approved unto God. Now, we've all been in school, or we all, or some of us are in school now. How often do you study what the teacher gives you? How many times does it take for you to repeat that again? When the first time the teacher told you that 2 and 2 equal 4, how long did you remember that before she had to tell you again? It is a repetitive thing. You go to study more than once. The same thing is true with the spiritual book of God. We go to it more than once. We need to continue to show ourselves approved to God, and we show ourselves approved of God with the knowledge and the understanding and the compliance to His Word. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, that to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in us. If someone came up to you right now and asked you, why are you a Christian? What are you going to tell them? Oh, you may say something real clever like, oh, because I love the Lord. Yeah, every televangelist said that this morning, didn't they? And you know, really, that's about all they did say, isn't it? Yeah. What would you tell someone if you need to defend God and defend Christ in your life? Would you know how to do that? Would you be able to sit down with someone and intelligently discuss God's Word with them? If not, you need to go back to 2 Timothy 2:15 and study so that you will be ready to show yourself approved to God, that you understand why you are what you are and how to tell other people to be the same way. Then Peter said something else in verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, don't be satisfied when you learn 2 plus 2 equals 4. Eventually, you're going to have to learn that A plus B equals C. Yeah, that's a whole different ball game, isn't it? Yeah. There is never an end to learning. You know, when I got out of high school, I thought, oh, this is going to be so great. That wasn't true, because a few months later I started to college and their books are bigger than the ones in high school. Did y'all know that? And there's a lot more involved to those books than there were the ones I had in high school. And I found my nose in those books more than I had to when I was in high school. There was not an end to that educational process. There is not an end to the educational process of God's Word. Now, I've had people tell me, I know everything there is to know about the Bible. Boy, you need to look back in that mirror, because you don't. There is no end of growth in the knowledge of God and His Word. We need to grow in knowledge, Peter said. Proper use of the mirror means that we not only just stick our nose in the book, but that we use it, and that we use it skillfully. In other words, we learn how to handle it correctly. You ever picked up an object that you meant to use, and a tool that you were wanting to use, and you really didn't know how to use it? You ever done that? I have, many times. Go back to 2 Timothy 15 again. Let's read the last part of that verse. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, we have to use it in the right way. We have to be sure that we understand it the way it was meant to be understood. I didn't understand the first time my teacher told me 2 plus 2 equals 4. And I certainly didn't understand it the first time they told me A plus B equals C. There was a learning process that had to take place, and it did not end. And you know, I learned how to use all of that. How many of you have trouble figuring out your bank book, your checkbook at the end of the week or the end of the month?
Who taught you how to do that? Well, you went back to the numbers. You know how to use the numbers. And the numbers tell you everything you need to know.
Some of you may have gone far enough in life that you have to use the algebra that you were taught, maybe the trigonometry, the geometry, the calculus that you were taught. Now, I have forgotten most of that stuff because I haven't had to use it in a long time. But I learned it. It was there. It was knowledge, and if you let it go, you forget a lot. The same thing is true with God's Word. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You will lose that sharpness. You will lose that ability to understand if you lay it aside. You know, we used to go visit some friends' house when I was a teenager, and I thought it was really funny to go into their living room, and they had a big family Bible. Y'all remember the days when you had the big family Bible on the coffee table? One of the funniest things I ever did, go in there and take that Bible and write on that Bible, "Dust me." Oh, I thought that was so funny. You know what that tells me now about those people that we went to visit? They never opened that Bible. They never used that Bible. Their Bible knowledge was pitiful. My wife has taught children from age 3 up, 2 up, I guess, when they're old enough to begin to absorb and understand God's Word. It happened at our first work in Rogersville, Alabama. It happened in our second work in Florence, Alabama. It has happened here. 3-year-olds couldn't tell you who built the ark. 3-year-old couldn't tell you who Moses was. Isn't that sad? We're not even teaching it to our children. And they're going to grow up with spiritual ignorance as well. There is no end to the learning curve. Proper use of the mirror must take place in our lives. Peter also warns us with this, 2 Peter 3:16. The untaught, the unstable people will twist and distort to their own destruction as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. That's why we need to know it, because there are people out there who are going to try to change how you feel, change your knowledge, and walk you down the wrong path. That's why we need to know God's Word so well, so people can't do that to us. Proper use of this mirror also means that we need to be obedient to that mirror. Answer me this. You get up in the morning, you walk in the bathroom, and you look in that mirror, and you see what you see. What if you just walked out the door anyway and just didn't do anything? Would you be happy about that? No. You're going to make changes, aren't you? You're going to make adjustments so that mirror won't be so critical when you look into it. There is no profit in looking in a mirror if you're not going to do anything about what you see. There is no value in opening up God's Word and reading the commands and the laws and the benefits of being a Christian and the problems if you don't, and not do anything about it. Remember what James said in our text. We need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Because if we are hearers only, we're simply going to see ourselves, forget what we saw, and move on. Person who constantly looks in the mirror of God and abides in the mirror of God, those are the ones who God will see in a good way. Let me ask you in closing this lesson, what do you see? Not in your bathroom mirror. What do you see in God's mirror? And the thing of it is, you know, you can You can lie to yourself and you can say, oh, well, I'm really okay. I'm not really all that bad. I don't need to change that much. But deep down, you know if there is changes that need to be made in your life. Because the mirror has showed you exactly the way you are. So what do you see in God's mirror? How is your character? How is your Christianity? How is your soul? Will your soul, the one that God gave you, be saved with and be with Him in eternity because you've looked in the mirror and you've done the right things by looking in the mirror? Or have you looked at yourself and said, eh, and walked away? I want to encourage you as a Christian to look into that mirror day and night and abide by what the Word of God is telling you. And for those who are not Christians, that same mirror, that same Word of God tells you how to prepare your soul so that you can be correct when you look in that mirror. It tells you the things that you can do to pattern yourself after the one who made you in His image. Tonight, if either one of these needs are yours, we ask you to respond on it now as we stand and sing the song.